When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey there, listeners. I want to give you a heads up that this episode will discuss sexual assault. Please take care while listening.
Previously on Hello, John Doe.
She had a full ride to Georgia Tech. That was all she ever wanted. Yeah, it was after that night. We just never saw each other. She just disappeared.
We didn't know at the time, the FBI didn't, that with any evidence that Franklin Floyd had kidnapped her. Sharon Marshall, she was found the victim of a hit-and-run accident in Oklahoma City and died 5 days later in a hospital.
Usually, the FBI doesn't investigate hit-and-runs, but this one was like a tree with gnarled and braided branches. According to the police report, a woman was walking at night toward a convenience store. She was listening to music on stereo headphones when she was hit by a car turning onto the highway. It was April of 1990 in Oklahoma City. The woman was taken to the hospital, where she died. As I've told you, Franklin Floyd's crime spree lasted decades and took authorities a right smart bit of time to unravel. From the get-go, this hit-and-run didn't seem like one. First, doctors said her injuries looked like she'd been beaten within an inch of her life. Not struck by a car. She died before anyone could ask her what really happened to her. Her husband quickly became a suspect because after her death, he tried to collect on a life insurance policy for $80,000. When I started looking for the two missing boys in 2004, I figured I'd either find them dead or alive, and that would be it. I didn't realize their story had so many layers or that their family had suffered so much heartache. Because I didn't know then that Steve, one of the missing boys, had a sister. She was Susie Savakis, the little girl Floyd kidnapped while her mama Sandy was in jail. You all know that because we've already figured that part out together in this podcast. But for the better part of 25 years, no one knew the real name of the woman killed in that hit and run. Her death became a case as cold as an early morning frost. That is, until FBI agent Scott Lobb got on the case. That was in the mid-2010s. Other investigators had pieced together that the dead woman, Tanya Tadlock, Floyd's supposed wife, was in fact Sharon Marshall, who graduated from Forest Park High School. By then, agent Lobb also had a hunch that Sharon Marshall wasn't this victim's real name. So he started pulling on some thread.
But I also wanted that answer to who was Sharon Marshall
He didn't know it then, but finding Sharon's real identity would take him all over the country, from Oklahoma to Florida to Michigan, finally to Virginia. He'd have to cut through all this young woman's aliases to figure out the name on her birth certificate. This investigation would lead him to Sandy's doorstep. He'd be the man to tell Sandy what happened to her little girl, decades after she went missing. But first, he needed to talk to the man who last saw Sandy's daughter alive, Franklin Floyd. My name is Todd Matthews, and this is Hello John Doe, a sleuth, a family, and a serial killer. The story of a family torn apart by tragedy and my quest to bring them back together. Chapter 6, The Investigation. Scott Lobb's not the kind of guy who loves sitting behind a desk. Today, he's retired, and even in his post-career life, he's like a worm in hot ashes. The guy can't sit still.
I am a pilot for a charter company here in the Oklahoma City area.
So it's no surprise that during his time at the FBI in Oklahoma City, he loved getting out into the field and getting answers. Digging. Agent Lobb is affable, and he cares a lot about his work. He talks about the cases he's tackled like each one's kept him up at night. I know that feeling. There's something really gentle about his demeanor. But he's also a zero bullshit kind of guy. He ended up fighting for children who were victims of violent crimes, even if it ripped his guts out, time after time.
It was part of my job. And a lot of people in the FBI don't want to work crimes against children. I can understand why. Children can't fight for themselves. And I was more than willing to be that person when they were violated in any way, shape, or form to work those investigations and see them to a conclusion.
This is where he was when he inherited the Sharon Marshall case.
The actual folders for the case, I would say, would stack about 6 feet high. It's one of the most unique cases I was ever involved with.
But by 2013, Floyd wasn't hard to find. He was sitting on Florida's death row, serving time for the first-degree murder of a different young woman in Florida. Before he met Floyd, Agent Lobb needed to know the Sharon Marshall case inside and out, know it better than Floyd did, so he could spot where he might be telling the truth.
And so I spent the better part of a year preparing for that interview by poring through the case file, reading every report of interview, listening to every jail call, watching every videotape that I could find of him talking to the press.
He also knew that the FBI in Oklahoma sent a request to Florida every year to see if Floyd might want to talk. Scott read up on those reports too.
They were one paragraph reports because Floyd just wasn't interested in talking.
Agent Lobb was convinced that he could get Floyd to agree to a meeting, but that still didn't mean he'd tell him anything useful.
I knew from everything that I'd studied that he liked to misdirect. He liked to take you down what we call rabbit holes. And so that preparation to approach that interview was huge. It was key to conducting that successful interview of Franklin Floyd. And I also knew that this wasn't going to be a one-day thing where we show up. So I had requested to be there for the entire week.
Plus, he tapped a colleague, Nate Furr. He was a skilled interviewer, so skilled the FBI shipped him all over the country to teach interrogation classes. And he was exactly who Agent Lobb wanted by his side on a high-stakes assignment like this one. So in the spring of 2014, the FBI agents flew to Florida. Agent Lobb had a lot of questions for Franklin Floyd, but he knew he had to focus on that central mystery. Who was Sharon Marshall? Figuring out Sharon's name could unlock other answers down the line. This is about getting to the truth, not trying to get a U.S. attorney to file more charges against Floyd.
Further prosecution for a guy on death row would be, to me, a waste of resources, a waste of money. There might have been perhaps some sense of justice was delivered for victims of Franklin Floyd, but I just wanted the answers.
Not to mention, at this point, Agent Lobb didn't know Susie Savakis, a.k.a. Sharon Marshall, a.k.a. Tanya Tadlock, had been kidnapped when she was 6 years old. He didn't know she was taken across state lines, which would have made it a federal crime. But decades later, Agent LaBoyne to find out who she really was, and then figure out if Floyd could have been the one to kill her. And if so...
we wanted to know, why did Floyd kill her?
That's what was on Agent LaBoyne Furr's minds when they showed up at the Union Correctional Institution in Florida in May of 2014. The trip itself was pretty straightforward. They showed up, go through security, surrendered their phones, walked down death row, and went through security a second time, and then walked into a conference room.
Nate and I had game planned this before, and it was decided that we walked into this room, we instantly knew we were going to rearrange it. Well, in order to conduct a really good interview, you don't want to have a barrier between you and the person you're talking to, such as a table or a desk. So we pushed the table up against a wall.
When Floyd walked through the door, his appearance surprised Agent Lobb.
Honestly, he looked feeble, really. And he's not an imposing man physically, but he started talking and he didn't stop.
He also seemed fairly confused. For about a decade, he'd remained on death row, but wasn't put to death because his lawyer argued that he wasn't mentally competent.
He thought we were his attorneys. Once we got him calmed down a little bit and started talking to him, we spent really that first morning with him up to lunch. We spent really just trying to build some rapport with him.
Agent LaBoyne Furr watched Floyd carefully, taking it all in.
His chair at a 45-degree angle, and I'm sitting at an angle that I'm knee-to-knee with him, face-to-face, so I could sit there close to him and conduct that interview to make him feel a little bit uncomfortable with that proximity. He would try to lean one way or the other. I would lean the same way as he did. I would mirror his behavior. I'm intently listening to every word he says, trying to stay a step or two ahead of him to formulate my next question.
So that's what they did, playing this real-life game of chess, trying to anticipate Floyd's next move. Even with all this preparation, the agents weren't getting much out of Floyd. For so long, Floyd had kept up appearances that Susie was his daughter named Sharon. Then he told people she was his wife, Tanya. He'd take them down these lengthy rabbit holes, losing the plot, and Floyd brushed off any questions about his so-called wife.
It was more, what do you care about her? She's dead. She didn't mean anything to me. Things like that.
He had woven so many tales over the years. But now, in prison, he stopped pretending he had ever cared. He was callous and combative.
So we go back that first afternoon, and Floyd is much the same in his attitude, but things started to change a little bit.
Something was different about this day. The agents asked again about the woman they knew as Sharon Marshall.
He had leaned back. He closed his eyes, kind of lifted his head a little bit. And he was talking about how he had, what did he say?
It was some story about being in Florida and then going up to New York to visit an old prison buddy and taking this big trip up the coast. It seemed random.
He ends up in the Charlotte area of North Carolina and got a job as a bus driver. I thought he was taking me down another rabbit hole. I'm about to put my hand up to cut him off. And that's when he leaned back, closed his eyes, lifted his head a little bit. And I realized at that point he was recalling facts. And he starts telling us how he was in a truck stop diner wearing his bus driver uniform. He was in training at the time. And a waitress had approached him and told him that this girl over here wants to meet you, and how he met this girl. And that turned out to be Sandy Brandenburg, and got married a few days later. Floyd had taken pity on her story that she was about to lose her kids to the state and she couldn't provide for them. And Floyd decides to marry Sandy.
This was the first time Floyd talked about Sandy. He was remembering the past instead of making it up. Floyd talked about Sandy's three daughters and how she'd given them up, but wanted them back.
I said, well, tell me about the oldest girl. And he goes, well, that's the one you want to know about. I said, okay, well, tell me about her. And he goes, well, I've seen her birth certificate. And I said, okay, where was she born? And he told me she was born in Livonia, Michigan. And he said, Her name was Suzanne Savakis.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This was a breakthrough. The agents had something they could work with. Floyd was finally making sense. Maybe now he'll start answering Agent Lobb's other questions.
And we got a knock on the door and our time had ended.
The FBI agents took what they'd learned and went right to work, trying to confirm Floyd's story about the oldest girl.
There was a marriage certificate issued for Sandy Brandenburg and a guy named Brandon Cleo Williams, which he had told us in that interview that afternoon that was the name he was using in Charlotte. And so like, okay, well, that's okay. He's telling the truth.
The next day, they found the birth certificate Floyd alluded to. Suzanne Marie Savakis, born September 1969. The dad, Cliff Savakis. The mother, Sandy.
If we could find the parents, we could get DNA samples and run them against the DNA that Sharon or Suzanne Savakis had on file from that hit and run accident. And so I think the trooper also told us that the father was still alive and lived in Michigan.
They needed to get to Detroit. If you think it was hard to get a serial killer to tell the truth, imagine going to tell the divorced parents of a missing child that she was now dead.
I can't think of a good way to approach this interview as far as the introduction and how I'm going to relay the information to him that we have and then ask for a DNA sample.
Once Agents Lobb and Furr got to the Detroit Metro Airport, they met a trooper and went to the home of Susie's dad.
And I still didn't have a plan as we were walking in the house. He was a little bit curious because we cold called and there's two FBI agents and a state trooper there.
As it turns out, Cliff and Sandy had not talked much since her breakup. So he didn't even realize his daughter had gone missing. He certainly didn't know she'd been kidnapped.
And his wife is there with them. They're very nice people. And I just started telling him a story about this girl who, you know, was known as Sharon Marshall, that was killed in Oklahoma City in a hit-and-run accident.
It wasn't ringing any bells.
He had never heard the name before. I go back through her timeline, working in reverse, and he's starting to kind of figure this out at this point. And I said, we believe that Sharon Marshall is your daughter, Suzanne.
I was thunderstruck. It was something I never, and no parent ever wants to hear their child go through the existence that she had to live for 20 years.
That, of course, is Cliff Savakis, Susie's biological father. He'd barely known her, and now it was too late.
It hit him like a ton of bricks, as you can expect.
And of course, nothing to be done about it, just kind of be heartbroken. That's about all you can do.
After Sandy and Cliff got divorced, he had seen Susie one time, but that's it.
I think his last contact, maybe 74, somewhere in the mid-70s, early to mid-70s.
It was like getting hit on the head with a pillowcase full of rocks.
Cliff and his second wife had kids of their own, a boy and a girl. He'd built a career in radio and then advertising. This news drop-kicked him out of his present life into the past and into a dark place.
It was very tough. I lived with it every minute of the day for a good year. And I put it to bed and it comes back up again. It's taught me humility.
I wish Cliff had known Susie. Wished he'd helped raise her, been a father to her before she was kidnapped. Cliff wasn't part of Susie's life, but he would forever be a part of her story after her death. Next, the FBI agents left to track down Susie's mother, the one who'd last seen her, Sandy. On a hot, humid day in July 2014, agents Lobb and Furr landed in Norfolk, Virginia. There, they rented a car and drove across the bridge tunnel to Newport News, where they knew Sandy was living at the time. They knocked on the door. Dorothy, Sandy's youngest, answered.
And they were like, I'm looking for Sandra Chipman or Sandra Willett. And I said, that's my mom.
This time, agents Lobb and Furr had a plan. They had a photo of Susie sitting on Floyd's lap.
And it's commonly believed to be a church directory photo, which it turned out it was. And I had our photographer in Oklahoma City separate those two. And so I had a picture of just Suzanne and a picture of just Floyd.
It shown it to Cliff, too, but got no reaction. This time was different.
And I did say there's this girl in Oklahoma City and started walking it back. And her daughter starts crying because her daughter immediately realizes where I'm going with this.
I immediately got up and I pulled the picture of my mom and her sister down from the shelf in my bedroom and showed them. I was like, that's identical. I cried.
Sandy came into the room and talked to the FBI agents herself.
They said, do you know this man?
She says, without any hesitation.
Yeah, that's Brandon Williams.
And he stole my daughter, Susie. And I thought to myself, well, we got the right place, that's for sure.
And they said, do you know this girl? And I said, that's my daughter. Where's my daughter? And he said, she's dead.
I showed her the picture of Suzanne. And, you know, she's crying at this point. And she told her story. And she did say that they were in Dallas, that she had been arrested for writing a hot check at a 7-Eleven.
It's the same story she told me.
And it sounded a little harsh to me for a hot check for, like, I think it was $1.07 for some diapers, $1.07. But that's her story. So I'm just taking the notes. And she gets out of jail. This would have been November. I think she went in October, got out in November of 1975, and went back to the apartment that they all shared, and the girls were gone. Floyd was gone. She tried to go to the Dallas Police Department. They didn't want anything to do with her. She said she tried to go to the FBI. They didn't want anything to do with her.
It was the last time she saw Susie, and the last time she saw Floyd. Now the FBI was telling her that her daughter was dead.
I just completely broke down. Completely broke down.
After she collected herself, she had another question about her other missing child.
I said, well, did you find Steve? And they said, who's Steve? I said, Steve's my little boy. Did you find him too? They didn't know anything about Steve.
The timeline didn't make a lot of sense to me of when she was in North Carolina and when that boy was born. And she didn't really have, as I remember, a good explanation of what Floyd did with that boy, other than she said he gave him to somebody else living in the same trailer park. I just didn't believe that boy was born at all. So we did some due diligence. We contacted North Carolina, asked about adoption records and so forth, and they didn't have anything. There was nothing on file.
God damn it to hell. This explains why I had such a hard time tracking Steve down later on. The FBI didn't think he existed, period. Agent Lobb explained this to us, that he felt he had done the best he could to find Steve.
I don't mean to sound callous about that, but I'm happy that we were able to close that loop.
Agent Lobb even offered to speak to Steve if he wanted to hear the story from him.
You can give him my contact information if he's willing to do it, or if he even wants to do it. I know it's tough what he's gone through. I'm willing to try to answer any questions he might have.
I told Steve about Agent Lobb in the fall of 2023, but Steve never called him.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Scott Lobb's exhaustive investigation resolved the big mystery of Sharon Marshall's real name. Now he could figure out what really happened to her and how Floyd got away with it for so long. Before he left, Agent Lobb gave Sandy a suggestion.
They say read Matt's book.
He was talking about a book called A Beautiful Child, written by Matt Birkbeck. It came out in 2004, so a full decade before Agent Lobb met Sandy. The book told the story of a woman many knew as Sharon Marshall, how she was kidnapped and raised by Floyd. The author didn't know that Sharon was actually Susie. He hadn't connected those dots yet. But the details of her life on the run with Floyd were inside that book, including the abuse.
The reason I did that and told her to read that book was because Matt Birkbeck had put in a lot of effort into writing that book and really knew the history of how she bounced around the country with Franklin Floyd. I read the book too. but I want to warn you, it's not pleasant.
Once the agents left town, Sandy was left alone with her emotions and this new book she was told to read.
After they left, I locked myself in the room, didn't come out for a couple days, but that's neither here nor there. But I was just in total shock. The whole time he was sitting there and telling me that Susie was dead.
She couldn't believe it. She figured Susie was alive and didn't want anything to do with her.
Up until the day the FBI agent showed up at my house, I firmly believed Susie was still alive. I mean, sometimes I threw the book against the wall. Sometimes I screamed. Sometimes I cried. It was like reading a horror story that you're a part of, but not a part of. So I went all the way through it within a couple days. Then I put it aside for about a month, and then I started going through it piece by piece. After I read the book, I considered killing myself. No, it wouldn't have helped my other kids, and that's what stopped me.
I can't imagine how hard this must have been for Sandy. For years, she was hoping one day her daughter would come back. Instead, she had a unique kind of heartbreak. People had read Burtbeck's book and found out what happened to Susie before she had. Sandy felt helpless.
I looked back and I was in Tulsa and he was in Tulsa with her, and what could I have done to find her that I didn't do when I was in Tulsa?
There were, of course, good parts in the book, like how Susie was on her way to Georgia Tech.
To find out she could have done so much more if he weren't involved with her life. When she was 5 and 6 and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? She used to say, I want to go to the moon.
In this period of total despair, Sandy found something that helped her.
I wrote journals. I wrote journal after journal after journal every day. In fact, I'd just gotten rid of a bunch of them because there were things in the journal I didn't want my kids to read.
Sandy's husband of 30 years died in August of 2010, but she started writing to him anyway.
I would write, I call my husband Sonny, but I would write to Sonny every day, like, you know, all this has happened and you're not here to help me, and you would know what to do and I don't know what to do.
It's hard to really say it, but I've told you I'm friends with a lot of dead people. There's something about this work that's made me a little bit spiritual. There's a part of me that believes they're not as far away as we might think. I know what it sounds like, but it's often helped me in these really dark times. I don't know. I guess I just thought maybe Sandy wasn't as far away from her daughter as she thought. If you could say something to Suzanne, what would you say to her?
I love you. I miss her.
Amy Winkles had to grieve a sister she never really knew. She's been thinking about what she would have said to her, too.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help her. I wish we had known each other. But I feel like I should have helped her. But I couldn't help her. I think we would have been good friends. We could have gotten in trouble together.
With Sandy's DNA in hand, the FBI agents flew back to Oklahoma City and sent the samples to a lab.
The DNA matched both the father and the mother. And it came back as a confirmation that the girl who was killed in Oklahoma City was Suzanne Savakis.
Getting her name was a crucial part of figuring out what her story was.
She was unknown. And, you know, through Nate and I's work, we were able to give her her name back, even though she's gone.
For a while, agents Lobb and Furr continued to visit Floyd in prison. They were pretty sure he'd kill Susie, but still didn't know his motive.
That was one thing he just would not talk about on all three visits was why he killed Suzanne. Floyd raised that girl. Floyd had a long-standing tie to that girl from the time he took her to the time she died in Oklahoma City. And I thought that question would have been the most painful for him. That's why I saved it for last.
But Floyd stayed mum. Agent Lobb had his own theories.
Well, there's speculation that she was leaving him. She was running, and that Floyd found her somehow in Oklahoma City. That could be true. I don't think we'll ever know the answer to that question.
When I think of what Floyd got away with, I'm spitting mad. Pissed. He stole Susie from her family. He abused Susie for most of her life and was never held responsible for her murder. It's kind of hard to make peace with that, especially considering Floyd also came for Susie's son, the school-age boy named Michael. The boy who had gone missing in 1994. One of the two I became obsessed with about 20 years ago. Kidnapping him was the federal crime that put Floyd behind bars. Next time on Hello, John Doe.
Michael Anthony Hughes had been taken to a safe place, Floyd would say. Floyd would also say the boy was his son.
My nephew, he was just innocent.
It took, 30 to 45 minutes before I finally said, we're not your attorneys, we're FBI agents. We're here to talk to you about Michael Hughes. I said, I've reopened the investigation. And he looked at me and says, well, I'd appreciate it if you close it.
Hello, John Doe is an original production by Revelations Entertainment in association with First and Last Productions. From Revelations, our executive producers are Morgan Freeman and James Younger. From First to Last, Lindsay Moreno is the executive producer. Our producing partner is Neon Hum Media. It was written and produced by Kate Mishkin. Our editor is Catherine St. Louis. She is also Neon Hum Media's executive editor. Our executive producer is Shara Morris. Our development producer is Ian Lindsay. Our associate producer is Rufaro Faith Mazarura. Sound design and mixing by Scott Somerville. Theme and original music composed by Jesse Perlstein. Additional music came from Epidemic Sound and Blue Dot Sessions. Fendel Fulton is our fact checker. Our production manager is Samantha Allison. From iHeartMedia, Dylan Fagan is our executive producer. Special thanks to Adelia Rubin at Neon Hum and Carrie Lieberman and Will Pearson at iHeartMedia. I'm Todd Matthews. You can learn more about NamUs at namus.gov. The number for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's call center is 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. The National Sexual Assault Hotline from the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network is 1-800-656-4673. Okay, guys, this is the end of the show. If you didn't like it, don't do anything. But if you did like it, you make sure that you rate and review the show. It helps more people to find it and hear this wonderful story. Thanks again for listening.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for four nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.